Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric Smart Color Changing Light Bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Save big on all Fight Lighting Smart Home products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get all the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in and own all the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
When I was playing, that's what the coach said, man. He used to tell us that. Like, man, you know, don't play with these guys. If I told you to block that guy means clear him out of there. And have leave nothing but damn space and opportunity. That's what my coach told me. When you blocking, clear him out and leave nothing but space and opportunity. That's what the hell he told me. Space and opportunity. I say, okay. That's what you're supposed to do. That, and also that prevents like you pity patting with the goddamn guy. Nah, get him on up out of there. That avoids you getting rolled up too. So I agree with you, bro. Absolutely. They damn sure underutilizing Elvin Kamara. Like I said, the decoy factor alone is something we need to consider. The decoy AK-41, just having him out there creates plays. He's a playmaker. They're scheming for him. They're looking for him. Like, and they're scared of Kamara and what he can do for you. So, I mean, it's just it's a part of the game, man. And we'll see how they employ him, man. You know, we'll see what Kubiak got doing. What's up, Young City? Crusher. What's up, Crusher? Good up to you. Big ups to you, Slim. Good to see you, my brother. All right, Brian says Kubiak definitely will know how to use Kamara and Kendre and schemes and Jamal and Powell. Yeah, they had started using those vertical run plays, man, with those guys. Horizontal run plays, excuse me. When they start shifting here and pulling there and doing that and the misdirections and all that. All that involves you put Rashid Shaheed in motion. You can put Elvin Kamara in motion, these guys in motion, the playmakers in motion to the opposite side of where the play is going, you know. And usually when you do that, they're going to follow them over there. You pull to that side, and we just need to block. We need the blocking to be a lot better, man. That's what I want. I want the blocking to be better, man. We need that blocking off top. Yeah, stay your ass out of Vegas. Yeah, and see, all the problems, too, to be honest with you, we wouldn't have had from Chris Olave and Chris Olave and Michael Thomas, guys getting arrested because they frustrated speeding. I mean, Chris Olave's caught speeding, you know, because he's frustrated going through the shit and all this kind of stuff. You know, when you're losing, all kind of stuff happened, but you got to have an outlet, like, and that's a part of the game. And that's another thing. Like when I was talking about, I don't really want to know about, I know Kubiak and I know he knows the scheme because it's a family business. He's getting it from his damn daddy. His daddy created this. He was a quarterback under John Elway, won Super Bowls as a backup quarterback behind John Elway, came in there as an offensive coordinator, won Super Bowls as an offensive coordinator, running his brand of system, had it for years. And Gary Kubiak taught his son, Clint Kubiak, and he got sons, period, but Clint Kubiak in particular, that's the family business. The dude knows that, like, you know, your personal family business. You know what I'm saying? That's the family business. So they got the right guy to run the system. My only thing is when people start, you know, stepping outside of themselves, how does he handle that? That's my thing. Like when guys start false starting, what are you going to do about that? What is your measurement? Because he said in it, see, if you go back and listen to his interview, we're talking about Clint Kubiak. If you go back and listen to Clint Kubiak's interview, I played this when they first signed him. When they first signed Kubiak, I went and looked up all of his interviews and I started listening. I was like, who is this guy? I know what he did with Minnesota, but let me see who this guy is. Let me hear from his words. And I found maybe two or three interviews from Clint Kubiak. One in particular he talked about that he didn't mention in these new interviews was that he likes practices to be stressful. He runs high stress practices. That caught me. I was like, oh, okay. High stress practices. And what that basically means is these high stress practices is the fact that, you know, he's in there, you know, doing all the stuff to stress these players out, that quarterbacks, whatever they got to do. And the reason being is because when game day rolls around, the pressure of game day won't impact them as much so because they're used to the pressure in practice. And I just thought that was that's very fascinating. Because we need more of a up-tempo practice, like the Saints practices. Like we seen all this last year when we heard all of these weeks of, man, we had a really good practice. The team had, and then they go out there and lose two games in a row, three games in a row. How you having Hall of Fame practices? I started nicknaming them Hall of Fame practices because I never heard him say anything about a bad practice. Every practice is good, but it doesn't translate on the field. We got an issue right there. So when you break it down and you look at it, I was like, man, I love the idea of having a high stress practices, because what that means is guys got to get on their square. And I want to know what his measurement is, or what his technique is. That's the word. What is Kubiak's technique when guys step out of line and they don't want to handle their business? What is his technique? What does he do when guys are false starting, when guys are involved in pre-snap penalties? Concentration issues. What is Kubiak's technique to deal with that? What is his technique to deal with accountability issues? How accountable are you, Mr. Kubiak? And how accountable do you believe your team should be? What is the level there? That's what I wanted to know. I know the man, when Deuce was asking him about pick, you know, this play and that play and all this kind of stuff, trying to, you know, I don't care about that. I know he can do that. I mean, I know he can do that. I know Gary Kubiak gave him that aspect. I'm more interested in that aspect of it, because that's what our team needs, offensively speaking. They need accountability. They need somebody that's going to make them do what they're supposed to do. And when they don't do it, they lose time or something like that. What do you do? That's what I want to know from Clint Kubiak, fam. That's what I want. I know the man can coach. And I mean, in terms of coach's technique, I know he can do that. Shit, I know he can do that. He's a coach's son. I know he got the game where other guys ain't get the game. That man gonna make sure his son have the game. You better believe that. All right. So yeah, it's what it is, man. That's how it go. Alex says Talley should play right. Ram shouldn't be counted on. I don't think Ram is counted on, bro. I think Ram, y'all chime in. Let me know. Y'all guys think y'all might feel a little differently. Y'all engage with me, you know, interact with me on that. What do you guys think? Y'all put it in the chat. Do you think Ramczyk will be able to play this season, you know, for the Saints again? Or do you believe that it's the end of his career? Y'all let me know in the chat how y'all feel about that. What do y'all think? Because me personally, I'm going to tell y'all my thoughts after I hear from you guys. But, you know, I've said it quite before, you know, about Ryan Ramczyk. He's a big piece to this. And like I was saying, man, I kept bringing up Ramczyk's play before they broke all this news about his degenerate knee issue. We know he was having knee issues, but they didn't tell you it was career threatening up until not too long ago. And I'm saying, like, you start really hearing it because, you know, people was questioning why he getting so much rest. What's wrong with Ramczyk? He acting like he old or some shit. What's going on here? That was happening before the news broke. And I was thinking, this happened some time ago. He'd been dealing with that knee. And it happened. I'll tell you, that's something going to happen, you know, not too long after he signed that contract, when he got that big contract going into, you know, that after his rookie contract expired, he got hurt. And then ever since then, it's been downhill. He'd been a shell of himself. And I was like, and it really, I should have known something was up. And I kept thinking to myself, I was picking at the topic, which was, why is Ramczyk playing the right side? I made a big stink about that. Why are they got this damn rookie? When Teron Armstead left, that's when Ryan Ramczyk was supposed to slide the left tackle. He's your most expensive offensive lineman at the time. He's supposed to be playing the most important position, which is the blindside tackle position. And despite what Dennis Allen believes that the left tackle and right tackle is overrated, it is not. The left tackle is very important, because if you don't have a good left tackle, your quarterback about to get his ass knocked off and about to inherit the deer in the headlight look all the time. And Derek Carr, we know that he can't take no lickings. He was standing around a couple. he was eye bucking with mascara on, man. Y'all know what time it is. Them big old eyes looking all her. You know, and you know he stayed on one side of the field, so he ripe for a sharpshooter. So I mean, it's just, man. Let me tell you, man. I just feel like I knew something was right wrong with that, because I was like, why didn't they move him to the left tackle position? I kept saying that. I was like, you gonna put a rookie over there? That's dumb. Don't put that rookie in that blind side tackle position. Oh, it'll be fine. And what happened? It wasn't fine. It was so bad that Penning was not, he wasn't deactivated. He was buried in the active roster to the point where they had backups coming off the practice squad over him. He was complaining about losing confidence in interviews. That's how bad it got, because the Saints put him in the position to fail. He wasn't a left tackle. I kept telling him, don't you put him in that left tackle. You put Ramczyk's ass over there. You gave him the money. You make him play over there. But guess what? They didn't do it, because Ramczyk was dealing with a degenerate knee issue. And we didn't know how bad it was. And it was trying to protect him by leaving him at the right side. That's what the hell happened. And then, and you know what ended up happening in the end? Ramczyk's knee got so bad that he probably ain't going to be able to play again. And Penning's confidence was shit canned. Excuse my French. Both of them was terrible, terrible ideas. And I said it, I called it from the jump. I said it right out the jump, because I knew what I was looking at. Didn't make any sense. But anyway, a lot of people saying, yeah, Q, Ram is done. YO says, damn, y'all, they saying Garcia tested positive for pairs right after that. I'm not surprised by that, bro. And it's a lot of shaky stuff. I'm going to talk more about that on Ring King's Box, and I do a boxing stream, man. You know, that's one of my other loves of the sport of boxing. I've been doing Ring King's, man. Eddie Two Mean Johnson, rest in peace to that brother. We created Ring King's Boxing some time ago, man. We cover all that stuff. All right, Tedra says, I believe he's out for a whole season, might be able to come back the year after. All right, thank you, Tedra. All right, Richard says, I think Ram is out this year, and we'll see how he does with the rest. All right, thank you. That's good logical commentary. All right. Dharma says Ram's done. Young City says no. Can you too? You says Ram is over. He's over. Like old Dick Gregory was saying. Dick Gregory would say, huh? You throw a little huh on Bonnie. Said that knee won't get better. He needs to retire before he can't walk. And let me tell you something about big guys and bum knees, bro. Once a big guy get a bum knee, that usually points you in the wrong direction. And then, of course, you got to factor his age in it. Tuck said, I think he'll play. I feel better feeling that. All right. Thank you. Byron says, hell no. Ram won't return back this year. He can't stay healthy enough, even though brother knee since injury. Most importantly, he got to retire. I felt bad for him. Yeah. Thank you, bro. Byron says, put Fuaga on the left side or right side. All right. Thank you. Alex says it's a degenerative knee issue. You're asking the whole season. There is no way. Degenerate means it's degenerating, right? It's getting worse. You know, and they didn't just say a knee, bro. Yeah, you're right, Alex. The big part of it is degenerate. It's getting worse. And his answer for that was to have minor surgery, when they were telling him that you need to have major surgery. Major surgery means he ain't going to play this year. You got to learn how to walk all over again. And he might have a chance the year or maybe the year after that. He's trying to stave that off. And I think that's not intelligent. Go take care of yourself, bro. You got money, unless you unless he got some habit that we don't know about, you need to go head on, bro. Your body is more important than playing that game. Once you get healthy, come back to the game. People will give you a contract to come back. People will give Ram a contract once he get clear. And it might not be the Saints, but it'll be somebody else. What's up, Andrew? How you doing, sir? Appreciate you from San Antonio, Texas. Shout out to you, my friend. Appreciate you. Pumped up for the season. Yes, indeed, man. Charles says Ram is done. They knew he was hurt to this effect. They gave him the money knowing it anyway. Okay, thank you, Charles. Alex says you drafted the right tackle to replace Ram. Ram is not making it the next two seasons on that knee. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate you. Byron says Penning couldn't play the blind side. Yeah, you're right. He couldn't play the blind side. But see, the issue is, and we talked about this before, because and just to kind of add on to what you guys were saying, y'all know my stance on Ramczyk. I think Ram, and we've been dealing with this for the last several years, to be honest with you, I think Ram is in trouble. I really do. Big guys with knee issues and a degenerate knee, I think he's in trouble. I think he needs to just go get the surgery and stop pity-patting around. Go get the major surgery and then work your way back. You know, if you can't, then retire. You know, you're a millionaire, you're a multimillionaire, you're good. You took care of your family. You won the game. You won the game.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You know, in that way. But in terms of like when you talk about a depending situation, my thought process was, and y'all tell me if y'all agree with me on this one. This is another one to y'all, and it's probably going to be the last one. I'm going to dirk out of here. But let me throw this one at the Great Saint Think Tank. We call it the Great Saint Think Tank because it's like a think tank for Saint football. It is that anyway. So I always like to bounce ideas off of you guys and see if I'm the only one. So we kind of thought about the pending situation. We know John Benton, that's the new offensive line coach, is coming in here with Clint Kubiak. We know that Benton doesn't know these guys. We know that the Saints are going to have new tackles because I don't think Ram's going to play this year. So they're going to have new tackles. When when Fuaga was drafted and they had the presser, Dennis Allen popped up there on the presser after the day one pick, a Thursday, they asked a good question about where does Fuaga play? Does he play the left side or the right side? That's when Dennis Allen started talking all this stuff that it don't matter. The left and the right tackle positions, the tackles, and it's overrated. I'm like, this dude here, man. This dude here sitting, he said another stupid-ass comment or last year about something. Every time he says something's overrated, there's always something stupid that he says is overrated. Over your left tackle position, the guy that's guarding your quarterback's blind side is overrated. Tell that asshole that. Tell him that. I guarantee you that man wouldn't believe that. He wouldn't accept that. Oh, no. The left tackle position, traditionally speaking, is considered for your best tackle. In many cases, some cases, it's your best offensive lineman that usually plays the left tackle position. It's a big money position. The left tackles get paid. A really good left tackle makes a lot of money because it is a premium on a guy that can keep the quarterback clean from the blind side. If you have a right-handed quarterback, and we don't have a lot of lefties, but when you have a right-handed quarterback, his blind side's here. He ain't seeing. When he first step into his stance, he's looking. His first thing is to look to the side where he's going to throw, depending on how he's set up. And sometimes you might rotate from the left to right. Sometimes you go right to left, depending on who the quarterback is. But as soon as he's set right there, he can peek and look at the right tackle position. You can see if he needs to slide out or run or step in to make a delivery. He can't see nothing the opposite way. So how is that overrated to have somebody back there that can take care of business? That guy, that quarterback has to trust this guy to keep him clean there. It's just amazing. But about back to the thing with Penning, my idea on the Penning thing, y'all tell me if y'all agree with this. When Benton comes in, the offensive line coach, he doesn't know any of these people. So his idea was to see who could play where and where. we seen how Penning looked at the left tackle position when he played it last year. It was horrible. It was horrible. My thought is, let's have a reset. I know Fuaga played right side. Let's have a reset and move Fuaga to the left side, Penning to the right side. And that way it's like a mental reset for Penning. It's not like he's going back to a position where he was ridiculed, made, you know, severely demoted and, you know, and lost his confidence. How about we have a reset mentally for him by putting him at the right side? Because I really do think that he could play the right side position, you know, and have Fuaga on the left side. What y'all guys think about that? Tell me what you think about that in the chat. Y'all put it in the chat. Let me know how y'all feel about that thought, about having him there. And if you disagree, tell me how would you prefer to see it? Wyo says, Eric McCoy and Ruiz got to take the next step on becoming great. All right. What's happening, Miss Lisa? How you doing? Hey, what's up, baby? How you doing? All right. Hebrew says, remember the name Shane Lemieux. I'm predicting he pays dividend. I talked about Shane earlier. It's a guy I told the family members when we opened the stream up about Shane Lemieux. This is a guy that can play, but he had the worst luck in the world. Every year he had injuries that he either lost, you know, that took him out for the whole year, or he might come back one game left or some craziness like that. But he had a series of injuries, and he's a solid offensive lineman, but he keeps getting hurt. So the Saints are baking on Lemieux to make it through to be healthy. And if he does, the Saints might have something special in that guy. He could play. It's just the injuries over the last, what is it, 3 years, 2 or 3 years straight of him just getting hurt it's not no nitpicking injury. It's an injury that usually gets him knocked out for the year or he'll almost a year. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it all gets together. All right. Can you to you says it's just fingers crossed, hoping and prayer that Penny can start somewhere. He says maybe left guard. He can play. I don't know about left guard because I think that's Ali Udo. It looked like he might be setting up to play the left guard position. Let me get my depth chart back up here just to make sure. This is the unofficial depth chart on the screen. Arch says Penning and Selvadera need to shine. We don't know what Nick Seldavera could do. We don't know. He is a total question mark. You know, Richard says moving Penning inside and let Pete come back and start at it. I don't know about that one, bro. I don't know about bringing Andrus Pete back. I don't know about that. I don't think that's the thing the Saints are even interested in doing, bringing Penning back. And, you know, and I'm a Penning. I like Andrus Pete. I just think it might be time for Pete to move on. I know he hadn't found a place yet, but I know he wants some money. I don't know if the Saints going to pay him the kind of money that he's looking for. And then again, I think the Saints just need to move beyond and find a longer term option at that position. You know, we got people there. It's up to the Saints offensive line coach and the offensive staff to get these guys good. You have talent there. Look at here. Here it is up here. This is the offensive run you're looking at. They have talent at the offensive line. Penning's not he's not a bust to me. Doug Marrone he probably was the wrong coach for him. Doug Marrone helped Cesar Ruiz when we thought Cesar Ruiz I was calling the man Caesar Salad Ruiz. You know, I was calling him Caesar Salad Ruiz, but he was more respectable over the last 2 years. He earned that contract in part. So, and that was Doug Marrone helped Ruiz become a solid guard. And I said this before, can Benton do that for Penning and Fuaga? And people saying he can. Ali Udo is another dude that knows Clint Kubiak's system. So he could be one of the guys that's speaking to these other guys about getting things together. Like I said, everybody's learning, but they have talent there. We just don't know what it is. Nick Seldavera, very talented, plays multiple positions. We haven't seen him play because he's been banged up. What does Landon Young have? Landon Young is like the X factor in the room for us in the offensive line. We've seen Landon Young play in different spots. Is Landon Young ready to step up and do something for us? Is Landon Young ready to step into a starting position to challenge one of these young tackles? Where is Landon Young? Landon Young been here for a while. Is he finally ready to do something? Remember, we picked him up for in the sixth round or something like that from Kentucky several years back. Is Landon Young really ready to step up here? you know, and then of course they have a bunch of undrafted guys behind them, but you know, I think the Saints will be adding some more guys. It might be no big name guys. It might just be Shane Lemieux and Justin Heron. And we'll see, man. It's still a lot of time. Byron says, put Fuaga left tackle, pinning at right tackle. Okay. Can you tell you some good with left tackle, right tackle switch? Maybe they'll try it out in the preseason. Thank you. T. Will says, you can shift the O-line all day and night, but if dumb dumb, and I know who you're talking about, don't call out the blitzer. It's back to the drawing board. Thank you, T. Will. Appreciate you, my brother. Charles says, Pennon is the right tackles. Some players can't play different positions. Just put him where he plays and see what he can do. Indeed. Thank you, bro. Tuck says, I'm out. All right. Thank you, Tuck. Appreciate you. Inevitable. What's up, Inevitable? How you doing, man? Says, I would like to know what Tyron's pitch to Simmons was. What an addition it would be. Yeah, Simmons. I like Justin Simmons, but I don't know if the Saints would be willing to pay Simmons. Simmons ain't going to work for free, bro. That's the thing about Simmons. We could definitely use a safety there, man. But then again, the Saints, how high are the Saints? They feel good about Jordan Howden. Is Justin Simmons coming here to be a backup? Justin Simmons, you signed Justin Simmons. He's trying to get the starting job, playboy. You know, are the Saints cool with that? You know, and then again, like I said, I don't think Justin Simmons works for cheap, man. I think he's been getting paid for a long time. And the Saints don't have the capital to pay him. Like, let me show y'all the cap. Let me go back to the cap situation then. We'll Dirk out of here. But here it is right here. This is the cap situation for the Saints at right here currently. And that's before they sign any of their draft picks. So we'll see how it all goes, fam. It's a lot going on. All right. So anyway, Brother Travis, how you doing, man? Shout out to you. Richard says, Doug had a part in Penning's failing. Penning went all offseason in training camp with no competition. And the first five games of regular season, they had no clue he was struggling. I mean, how is that even possible, though, Richard? That's the crazy part about it when we kind of get at these people. Email Elvin Kamara said that. He was like, "Where's, you know, guys were false starting and doing all this other stuff, and nobody wasn't saying nothing." How are you not saying nothing? The guy's false starting. Pre-snap penalties and all this, nobody gets fussed at. And that's why you're seeing how garbage time Saints offense was. No accountability, milquetoast-ass coaching, and it showed. You know, so hopefully Clint Kubiak brings that stress approach that he talked about to practices, because I would love to see that, to be honest with you, to have them guys stretch the hell out and plan with ferocity in practice so that when game day comes, they playing smooth, nothing other team could do them could stress them. Nothing. They practice in high stress environment, and when they get the game time, it's smooth and easy. It's smoother and easy to them, even though high stress game. That might be something Willie Green needs to adapt. Willie Green, you need to adapt high stress practices, man. Take together and togetherness and love and whatever that shit is you got on side the walls in that practice building. Pull all that down and put more aggressive wording up there, man. Because your team played weakly, man. I'm sorry to jump on the Pelican shit. But that just reminded me, you know, thinking about, you know, putting all these names and all this up there. You got to have a certain ferocity you got to play with. And while you're talking about togetherness and love and all this other, these other passive emotional words, them other people just running you through the ringer. We need that. He needs to have more of a high stress practices, man. That works, because when you get into the meat and potato areas of the game, you know what I mean? The fine moments of the game where a guy needs to make a play and the defense is coming to stress you, you're not falling apart because you've been there. You know, we practice for the stress. We practice. We had game time. We had game situational awareness where we know what we need to do in the crunch. That's the high IQ moments of the game, to know to go to a spot where I need to be. This guy needs to, knowing the tendencies of the players, knowing that I need to drive this guy right because he likes to go left. He favors his left hand, that type of stuff. Understanding that and playing with that type of intelligence and playing with that type of temperament. You know, we need to, maybe that's something that they can adopt, man, to be honest. What you think, Rich? Kids says Q ain't nothing changed about DA. So why should we think this team will fight for him? No one respect him. Half the team do respect this guy. Brother Rich, thank you for the super chat. I think half the team do respect Dennis Allen. I think half the team respects him. I don't think the whole team disrespects him, but I think there's a lot of people that don't respect him. You know, and it's a fractured room many cases of what Mike Thomas was speaking about. That's what Matt Lattimore had issues with him. Guys don't like guys, and it's his damn fault. It's his damn fault for what he does. Stop being, stop coddling Carr. Stop being so freaking off code. You know, when he threw his team under the bus, that was some weak bullshit. And I'm pissed off that Mickey Loomis, who's also weak, didn't call him out for that. Whatever this guy does, they just protect each other. And that's bullshit, man. That's why it is like the team is fractured for a reason. It's cause and effect. It's basic logic. Things happen for a reason. It just didn't happen. The guy just didn't say all of a sudden, I don't like this guy. Or I don't want to be anymore. Whatever the case may have been. Or, you know, and Michael Thomas tweeting, well, Mike Thomas tweeting in the media makes it about him tweeting, well, you don't do that. That's bad for the team, while not saying anything about what Dennis Allen is doing. You won't talk about what Mike did on Twitter, which is harmless, versus what DA does when he threw his team under the bus. I don't care whether or not if they ran the play, they were wrong for running the play, but he was wrong for telling the world he did it. We should have never found out about that until well after into the offseason. Should have known about it. There was no need for him to go run up to the podium and then blab his guts to the world. Well, I ain't tell him to do that. They did that on their own. And he has a right to be mad and then apologize to Atlanta. That's doubly worse. You know, so that's why people are like, man, what is this? What's going on here? And then Mickey Loomis don't even open his goddamn mouth to criticize it and say, hey, man, listen, I don't approve of what he did. Well, I had a talk with Dennis. I told him that's not how it goes. He's so off code and back ass that he didn't even talk. See what I'm saying here?
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.